Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and if you want to watch the show, go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in Today's Issues. We welcome you to participate with us there. And Steve Jordahl joins us in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I was almost late to the studio here this morning.
What happened to you, Steve?
I was crossing the street, and Noah stopped me, asked me to help him build the ark.
Yeah, we talked about that last hour. I don't know.
Man.
I was looking at the weather, and it looks like the southeast and maybe the mid-Atlantic is going to be drenched.
But I was looking, it's rain for us.
I was looking at where we live here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and it looks like a continual train of red.
That's right.
On the radar for the next day and a half.
Hey, I got woken up in the middle of a deep sleep last
night. So you're woke?
I'm woke. I was last night. A thunder, lightning went off like right next to my house. It was like, oh my gosh, scared me to death.
Oh, that'll wake you up. Yeah, that'll wake you up. What's the closest you've ever had lightning?
In Colorado Springs, had a bolt hit the house that I was in, our house.
While you were there?
While I was there, yeah. And it's one of those
what
things.
What did it do?
It hit the, there's a basements in all the houses in Colorado. They all have basements. And all the code requires you to have windows and access out of the basement through a window. So there's window wells that are below ground, and they have these metal containers or metal barriers that keep the dirt out. And it hit one of those metal things. And so I went out and looked, and there was some zap marks on it. And it was one of those things you kind of – you heard – the zzz, at the same time you heard this massive bang, and the light was at the exact same time.
It didn't blow your electronics or
no,
anything?
No, actually it didn't. I might have. I used to be in the habit of, because we get a lot of electrical storms in Colorado, of unplugging my electronics during a storm.
Yeah.
I might have had them unplugged at that point.
What's the closest you've been, Ed?
I have no idea. I mean, I've never, as far as I can tell, seen anything hit or had anything hit nearby. But one of those experiences where it was so loud that you thought, well, it's somewhere close.
Yeah.
I don't know where it was. But what about you?
Well, probably about this time last year, I was sitting on my patio
during an electrical storm.
Well, Ed, we're jumping to conclusions right there.
Was it close on the heels?
That was followed by ... You idiot. And we haven't got there.
No.
We haven't got there yet. No, I was sitting on my back patio during a rain and a thunderstorm, but not one of these, roaring thunderstorms that you obviously know to take cover.
Yeah.
Just a general.
Which happens a lot. In your defense, it happens a lot in Mississippi.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just sitting out there on the patio enjoying the. And I don't know if a lot of us have experienced this. You have just a moderate little rumbling of thunder, and it's almost like something you could go to sleep to.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Sound machines.
Sounds of nature.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's this bolt of lightning. I mean, it hit probably 200 feet from where I was.
Wow.
In the there's some trees in my back, beyond my backyard, and 200 or 300 feet, because it was instantaneous, the flashing light,
yeah,
and then the incredible loud boom, and it hit a tree back there, and so that will, and I was sitting in my metal lounge chair. Allison could have found me, melted to it?
I guess so.
Is that what happens?
And so you just casually, after that happened, got up from your chair, went inside.
No, it wasn't casually, my friend. I moved. I was terrified. That'll scare you to death when that happens.
Yeah.
Of course, what you're thinking there at the moment is, what if this is this going to happen again?
Right.
Because we're in some kind of electrical storm. But I do have a metal chair I was sitting in with. Had some padding on it, but still, yeah. I probably would have melted it into the chair had that been a few more feet towards me. Anyway, all right, Steve,
By the way, before Steve gets going, we were talking about the Oscars last night, and I want to make mention that hair love creator, I have no idea what that is, Matthew Cherry, when he got his award, advocated for the Crown Act, a California law that prohibits discrimination based on hairstyle or texture. So there's a law that is up for passage in California that prohibits discrimination.
You're joking, right?
No, this is from a story about all the millionaire hypocrites, as some called them last night. Matthew Cherry, who got an award, he was creator of Hair Love, whatever that is. He advocated for passage of a California law, the Crown Act, mm-hmm. that prohibits discrimination based on hairstyle or texture.
So
I have no idea that there were people being discriminated on the basis
Matthew
of it.
Matthew Cherry's former NFL player.
Is he really?
A former wide receiver. Didn't spend a lot of time in the league. His film was a short documentary, animated film, actually, a short animated film of a dad who is African-American dad who's doing his daughter's hair up 6 minutes long or something. Got the Oscar. I think there's a story behind the California bill. I think it was in California. There was an African-American wrestler with dreadlocks, and the referee made the guy in the middle of a match, right before he got on the mat to wrestle his opponent, made him cut his hair off to the horror of the kid. And his family and his teammates wouldn't let him go out on the mat with his dreadlocks on, figuring, I guess, that it was something that could get him hurt or whatever. And that kind of sent some outrage around, and I think that's what's behind the Crown Act.
Okay, listen, here's the thing. First of all, I was trying to ridicule this, and
I know.
Made it into a big serious thing.
And it is a serious thing.
Yes. Well, so here, my only point would be that was wrong what the referee did. Do you really, though, need a state law now that's going to
California put laws up about just about anything.
Unintended consequences. Now every person who has a hairstyle is going to say, I've been discriminated against.
Well, since you started down this road, I could see where it would be a problem if you're wrestling and the other kid's dreadlocks are slapping you in the face. Am I the only one who?
No, I mean, I could if you.
There's something about a 14 or 15 year old boy crying as the referee cuts his hair.
That's
terrible.
That's
terrible. The idea that you
really
what the coach should have done is said, that is not going to happen to one of my players. We are in protest of this. We are walking off, and we will protest this. And then the athletic association would be forced to say, "Are you going to do this?"
But that seems like something
again.
To me that's handled prior to the. You have rules of wrestling,
right?
And you say. You know, you cannot wrestle if your hair is a certain length or whatever. I mean, because, or I don't know, but it seems like to me it could be something. Now, I can't believe a referee would actually take scissors out and start cutting the kid's hair.
That's what happened.
That's crazy.
That should be a lawsuit or something. But
I'm sure it was.
I mean, that's stupidity.
And the corollary to the team withdrawing in protest was the kid didn't want to let his team down. And so he submitted to that, even though
that's on the referee first of all, and then how the coach mishandled it. I didn't want to make a big thing.
Well,
of that
I'm just telling you, at that point, I think the kid needs to identify as a girl.
There you go. Would have solved everything.
And he would have been able to win. No protest about the hair.
Right.
And he probably won the state championship. Yep.
Well, except in some states, Colorado was one of them. There's not quite enough female wrestlers to have their own little league, so they're wrestling against the boys. And there have been a number of coaches and athletes who have said, "Nope, not going there.
Yeah,
not going to wrestle a girl."
All right. Get a bigger, more important story out of your stack.
All right. That wasn't in my stack, by the way. It's just
on
the top of my head.
That's on me. Sorry, folks.
You started that?
I started that. I was mocking Hollywood and thought it would go better.
Yeah,
but it didn't.
Well. Donald Trump was tweeting over the weekend. Can you believe that?
Man.
Let me read
what
you.
What is that now when you tweet? What is that?
A Twitter storm.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is what he tweeted. This is the biggest political crime in American history by far. And then in all caps, simply put, the party in power illegally spied on my campaign both before and after the election in order to change or nullify the results of the election. It continued on with the impeachment hoax. Terrible. And then in lowercase, FBI Director Christopher Wray just admitted that FISA warrants and surveillance of my campaign were illegal. So was the fake dossier. All caps. Therefore, the whole scam investigation, the Mueller report and everything else for 3 years was a fixed hoax. Who pays the price? He asks. I might have an answer for him. Actually, Rudy Giuliani might have an answer for him. As you know, the president's lawyer was cavorting around in Ukraine trying to get to the bottom of the Biden corruption deal, and he came back with a document or two. But one in particular that he's talking about when he was on with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business over the weekend. And I want you to listen to what he found in this document.
It just reads very simply, Burisma Holding Limited and its director, Hunter Biden, are involved in corruption affair. And then it lays out a stone-cold money laundering situation that he was involved in for $14.6 million. That went from, as disguised as loans, from Ukraine to Latvia, Latvia to Cyprus, and then it came to the U.S. And they wouldn't give the prosecutor the amounts of money that went to Hunter Biden and Devin Archer because the prosecutor was told the American embassy wouldn't give it. Well, I recovered those documents from the trial of Devin Archer. You know, his partner was convicted of securities fraud. In that trial, they had to produce records that shows this money coming in at exactly that time. So it ties to money laundering altogether.
That could be the smoking gun that he's been talking about, or one of them. And it's Giuliani's hope that when all of this comes out, and if the Senate decides to start investigations, that it will not only clear the president, but vindicate him completely. That's what he's saying.
Is Rudy Giuliani turning these records over to the what's the name of the federal attorney from Connecticut that's heading up some of this?
The IG, you mean?
No, federal attorney
that appointed by Barr.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I know who you're talking about.
But I mean, is he turning it over? Who's he turning these records over to? He's not going to do something with them. He's just not going to just leak them to the media, is he?
Well, he hasn't leaked them. He had them there. With him, but he is willing to give those to whichever party wants to have them.
What's his name, Brent?
John Durham.
John Durham. Thank you.
Remember his name.
Yeah, so he's willing to give them to either the Senate or to John Durham, whoever's going to bring the Biden thing to bear. So we're starting to see the other side of this whole scheme unravel on the Democrats.
It's going to have to wind up in some sort of federal court setting because the media would just bury these kinds of things. They won't cover this sort of item unless somebody big goes to court and is charged. That's the only way you'll get the news media to cover these kinds of things. So if this is real stuff, I hope it gets in the hands of John Durham or the IG, somebody who will bar. And something is done with these.
Not only is Rudy Giuliani on the case, but so is Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Senator. He is saying that he is willing to go and start investigating what they're calling Crossfire Hurricane, which is the investigation into how the Russia hoax got started. So the Republicans are finally putting their foot on the gas a little bit. Think it's gonna work? Do you think somebody will finally go and pay for that?
Well, that's what I just gave my answer. It has to go to some legal authority in the Justice Department that has the spine to go where the information leads. This is not something, in other words, that can be done in the media.
Right. Well, it won't be done in the media. Right. In the next installment of Know Your Democrat Candidate, I know that you guys played Joe Biden earlier, calling some little young lady a lying dog-faced pony soldier,
right.
Whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And you played the greatest hit of his gaffes. He also was on the campaign trail this weekend in New Hampshire. And I want you to listen to what he says about the tax breaks that President Trump gave, which is, well, listen to this, cut 7.
You have your windows, your doors, your ceiling, your insulation, et cetera. And if we do that with tax credits and take some of the $1.6 trillion in tax credits he's given away to everybody out there, and we can do that. That will have a significant impact.
Environmentalism, and how to retrofit houses and everything. But he admitted there that the $1.6 trillion in tax breaks were going to everybody.
Yeah.
And the middle class has benefited, and the lower income people have benefited greatly from the tax cuts. He'll take them away. And this is something that he can do.
Yeah.
We talk often, I do anyway, I talk often about the Democrats promising free stuff, but they're never going to be able to deliver on Medicaid for all.
How can he take away tax cuts?
Well, he can...
Wouldn't Congress have to do that?
Congress would. I mean, they own the House.
I see what you're saying.
Now, they didn't when the House passed the tax cuts. It was a Republican House at the time. So,
to have the House, the Senate, and the White House, and you'd have to have 60 votes in the Senate
to do it
of Democrats.
If they wouldn't have to have 60 if they passed it.
Yeah, they would. They would, unless it's something called reconciliation.
Oh,
yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'm sure our listeners are really interested in going into that.
Right.
Next topic, please.
I want to play you a little bit of our friend Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is an economy major, who was an economy major at her college.
Are you
economics
serious?
Major?
You're
yes. No, she was. She was an economics major.
AOC? AOC here?
Yeah. Listen to her talking about her favorite economist, Cut 8.
I was just reading today about how Milton Keynes, a famous economist back in the day, predicted that by 2030, U.S. GDP would grow 6 to 8 times what it is, which would allow for everyday people to work 15 hours a week.
Well, there was no Milton Keynes. There was a Milton Friedman.
And John Maynard Keynes.
Milton Friedman, a free market economist who have nothing in common with AOC. John Maynard Keynes, he was for big government and government spending, adding to the wealth of the country. That's her guy.
And so, those two would be opposed to each other.
You've heard of Keynesian economics? It's
right.
John Maynard Keynes.
Hey, we've all mixed our metaphors. She's mixing her economist.
There you go.
Right. It can happen.
Yeah, it can.
It did
it can
to
happen
her.
To anybody. You know, you start talking about the economy, and the next thing you know, you're talking about people with two completely different views of economics, and you use the first name of one and the last name of the other.
Very nice of you to defend the honor of AOC.
So far,
very nice of you.
So far, I blew up your Oscars joke, and you just blew up my my AOC story.
AOC, I'm telling you. I encourage every American to give to AOC's campaign to be reelected because,
there you go.
We need her.
Yeah. Kind of like the news media needs Donald Trump.
Yes.
CNN.
They hate him, but they love him for the ratings.
Yeah. CNN and MSNBC have to have Trump in the White House to stay on the air.
What are they going to do if Mike Pence is in there? Are they going to... Ratings go, I mean.
They'd probably go after him, too, but not
they would
the
go
same,
after him, too, but not I'm just, same. It's not the same dynamics
right.
there.
Right.
You know.
Because he wouldn't really be probably fighting back like Trump.
Who can?
It's true. That's true. Huh? There's only one Donald Trump.
There's only one.
And
Mike, Vice President Pence, don't get me wrong, he could be a good president, I believe. Certainly his beliefs and his ideas on government and everything, but I'm just saying. There's only one of the reasons the left hates Donald Trump is because he fights like they do.
All right, so let me ask you just a question,
yeah.
Tim. So here's a scenario I'm going to lay out. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is reelected. Uh-huh. Four more years of this horror show in terms of the Democrats and the news media attacking Donald Trump for four more years. So in 2024, does Mike Pence say, I've earned it going through this for the last 8 years. I'm running for president. Mm-hmm. Or does he go, I've been in this for the last 8 years. I'm going home to go fishing.
What well, do you think? That's a very good question, Ed.
They will be any easier on him than they are on Trump.
They'll come at him for being a Christian.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the reason they'll come at him. But President Trump, you know, what the left thinks that Trump's going to do is win in November and then run again for a third term.
Yes, they do.
And then if he's not elected, he'll just stay in the White House.
Yes, and won't leave.
Trolling them.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know.
And there are people who actually believe that.
Yes, there are. There are, you know.
Five more years, Mike Pence will be 65. So relatively young compared to some of these. Do you think he would go for it, or do you think he would go, I'm going
back to
Indiana?
I don't know. We're a long way from there. I think he would go for it, but we're a long way from
I bet it depends on how the Trump presidency ends up. If the economic boom keeps rolling for four more years and he's inheriting a good tailwind, he'll probably do it.
I think, though, if President Trump wins again in November, given the splintering that's going on right now inside the Democrat Party, and they've thrown everything they could at him with the Mueller investigation, they tried impeachment. I think you very well could see a demoralized media and a splintered and demoralized Democrat Party who will lose their will to fight. They're not really fighting. They lose their will to try to resist and bring down the president again. I think that's a real possibility.
Yeah.
If I could put it in clinical terms, I'm talking about a state of depression. You know what I'm saying? Where you like go see a counselor.
The whole Democrat Party
to go see a therapist. You know, lay on the couch. And there was a commercial on last night. A guy's on the couch laying down. He's talking about his problems, and the therapist is over there writing notes. And she starts saying, I mean, he's got some kind of real problems. And then the therapist goes, well, you think you got problems? You know, I can only get like 37 channels. She said, I should be getting hundreds of channels on DirecTV. You know, so we all both got our own problems. On issues. Anyway, it was a funny commercial. All right, Steve, go.
All right.
1 minute.
All right. The Mormon Church has they've found out that the Mormon Church has a $100 billion fortune invested, and they've been hiding it.
They got how much?
$100 billion in the bank, and they've been putting it in shell companies, and the reason they're hiding it is because they don't want to discourage their members from tithing.
$100 billion with a B?
$100 billion with a B.
Wow.
A secret $100 billion investment fortune. It's owned by the Mormon Church.
That is more than twice what I have in the bank.
Oh, so yeah. Who got caught?
Well, the LDS investment fund manager, Roger Clark, the fund is called the Ensign Peak Advisors, told the Wall Street Journal the church kept a lid on the size of the financial stockpile because they feared knowledge of it would dissuade church members from tithing.
Well, yeah. You got $100 billion. That's insane.
All right.
That's an insane amount of money.
Thank you, Brother Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
Thank you to Fred Jackson and Brent Creeley. We hope you have a great day, folks, and we will see you back here tomorrow.